This morning, we're going to continue our series. We're calling it The Hero's Quest, The Lost Gold of Havilah. And we'll talk about Havilah next week. What that actually means is a circle. So it's coming full circle. But more detail on that next week. But the lost, or the hero's quest part of this. What we're actually talking about there is going on a journey or a quest. And the reason that we even use the word hero is because it's a heroic move to actually leave where you are and go to a new place. It's not easy. Sometimes it takes pain to move us. Sometimes it takes some suffering to get us to move to another place. I think there's a call of God on our lives that we never stay stagnant. We never stay where we are, but we go on a journey with Him, toward Him, to learn more about who we are and more about who God is, to be His agent of change in this world. And this morning, we're going to actually be talking about something that I think we could turn anywhere in the Bible and talk about this. We're talking about a relationship between us and God. God and us. Which means this whole book is actually the Bible from front cover to back. It's really about God, and it's about us, and it's about us in relationship with God. We could start in the beginning and talk about the creation and how He made us for a relationship with Himself. We could look at the fall and how that got broken. We could go to the redemption stories. We could chase to the New Testament and see that God came into this world in the person of Jesus, fully human, fully divine among us, that He came to redeem us. He came among us. He died for us. He rose again victorious over that grave. He's coming back for us. It's about us and God from beginning to end. And so I just want to say on the front end, when we talk about this morning, over the next 25 minutes or so, what we're actually doing is not exhaustive. There's no way we can cover the whole in that short a time. And so I want to take an angle on this, just one angle, knowing there are so many other angles, one angle into the relationship between us and God, and in particular, thinking about it being broken, a broken relationship between us and God, and how that gets mended. And I want to speak from personal experience. This is the angle where I've learned the most about me, about who I am. I've learned the most about what trips me up. I've learned the most about what helps me find my way back to God. I've learned the most about who God is. And with that, I want to invite us to just silence ourselves before God, because what I have to say here today, if it's not accompanied by the power of the Spirit speaking into your heart, then we will merely have spent some time together. And I long for so much more for that, for me, for you, for us. So let's pray. You are the Christ who is above us, the Christ who is below us, to our left and on our right. You are the Spirit who hovered over the face of the deep when this world was spoken to existence by You. Even now we recognize that we do not gather alone, but You hover over this place. You've taken up residence in so many of us. To speak now is the cry of our heart, that we might hear You say something to us that would change us, that would draw us closer to You. That's what we long for. So come, Holy Spirit, and minister to us now. We pray this in Your name. Amen. So a quick question just to get us started here this morning. How many of us belong to the club of people that think we can fix just about anything? Anybody else around here like that? Like, all right. There's a few of us that actually believe that to be true. My hand's up on purpose. I'm not just I think I can fix just about anything. And what's happened, which I think is really cool, there's this thing called YouTube that has emboldened us to believe we can actually do it. Because you can Google it now and you can look it up and they have these videos. Here's how to fix it. And I was thinking about a time when my son's stereo in his 2003 Chevy Impala that he's no longer driving, but he was, the stereo went out on it. I'm like, not a problem. We can figure this out. And I looked it up online, and looking it up, it said in the rear seat, passenger side, under the carpet, 2003 Chevy Impalas, they tend to corrode, the wires do. Check that out. I ripped the carpet up. Sure enough, there it was. Fixed it. Presto. I'm like, if YouTube says it, I believe it. That settles it, man. This is it. This is a fix-it miracle right here. And then I often will find myself believing I can fix something and find out I'm greatly exaggerating my talents, because my wife took my stapler, and the one I'm talking about is the one you can shoot into wood, like a half-inch staple, and she took my stapler to do some stuff at school and came back and said, your stapler's jammed. Not a problem. I can fix it. I don't even have to YouTube it. There's not enough parts in this thing to have a problem with that. By the time I was done with it, true story, I threw it away. I'm like, this thing is a wreck. I destroyed that thing by the time I was done with it. I'll buy a new one. And I have a new one now. But I've broken as many things as I've fixed. I just have. I've got a weed whacker sitting in my garage right now. I haven't had the heart to throw it away. But I went in on what I thought was a simple fix. And it's really good for parts. So if anybody has a steel F-15 weed whacker that needs parts, I'm your man. You can have it. I'll get it out of the garage. I'm serious. You can have it. Come find me after worship. But sometimes what we're trying to fix, we end up actually making things worse. What we're trying to fix, we try to fix things and we actually make it worse. Not a big deal with a stapler, but when it comes to life, that can be a big deal. I think about how many conversations I had this past week with people that I really love, that I really care for. I've been on the phone or in person with a few people and listened to them tell the stories of what's going on in their lives or in their relationships, and how they've tried, and the words like hopelessness and despair and grief, and just listening to those sort of words. And I thought, man, we are surrounded by people. We are surrounded by people that are really doing their best effort to fix something that at best stays the same. At worst, it just kind of continues to get even worse. And it's made me think about this statement right here, that our relationship with God can be like that. The relationship between us and God is broken, and most of what we do doesn't make it better. That's a bold statement. And the front end of that statement, it's like, no, we get this statement on the front end. On the front end of it, we get it, because we understand that the relationship between us and God is broken. That's not hard to get, because we're people. And we say things like, well, people make mistakes. We all have a story. We all have a past. We are just human. We're just on planet Earth. Welcome to planet Earth, right? And we understand that about ourselves. In fact, the Bible would even talk about that. Paul wrote to the church in Rome, saying to that church there the same sort of thing. He didn't use the words like, welcome to planet Earth, or we're all human, we all have a story. What he was saying there is, all of us have sinned. That's the word. And you could use whatever word you want, but we all know what we're talking about. And what we're talking about is, we all experience between each other and in this world, and even with God, we experience that brokenness. And when we try to make that better, when we try to restore that and it doesn't happen, we either have to wonder about our tactics. Am I doing the right thing? Am I just doing this wrong? Or it leads some people to the point where they just go, well, I don't know what to do with God anymore. Some have abandoned that relationship with God altogether, because they've thought to themselves, man, I signed up for this. I checked off the box, and I decided I'm going to try this thing, and I'm trying to live right and do right and be right in this world, and all my trying to live right and do right and be right hasn't fixed a single thing. And they've walked away from God. Or at least they just went, okay, I still believe, but now I'm just kind of riding through the motions. And maybe even some of us here are doing that. Like, I believe, I just don't know what to do with it anymore. If you're in that place, I want to invite you in to this story this morning. The story that we're about to dive into, because again, we're only taking one angle into this. One angle into how to remedy the solution between the brokenness between us and God. Only one angle into this. The biggest angle, and I'll just say it, the biggest angle on this is Jesus has already done it for us. Jesus already came into this world. He already is in the business of reconciling us back. And one of the ways he does that is what I want to speak about this morning. It's in the book of Genesis that we read these words right here in Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And we kind of know what's going to happen the minute we read that. You're free to do this, but you're not free to do that. You're welcome to do this, but you cannot eat from that tree that's in the middle of the garden. And the minute we read that, even if it's the first time that you're reading that, and you've never seen this verse before in your life, the chances are every single one of us already know where that's going because we've read enough books. We know how they end. We know storylines. We've seen enough movies and we know how that goes. We've lived enough life. We have enough of our own stuff in our lives that we know the minute you're told you can't do this, eventually in this story, it's going to end up happening. And that is exactly what happened. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, I'm going to read that. If you'd like to follow along, go ahead and turn there. Or you can just listen. But in Genesis chapter 3, third book of the Bible, or the first book of the Bible, third chapter, we read what happened in response to what we think would be the unfolding of that kind of story, where it says there was a serpent there, more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid. Uh-oh. Something happened for the first time. For the first time, they heard God walking in the cool of the garden. They heard the sound of him coming. They're like, there's a brokenness between us. It's like walking down the aisle in the grocery store and you see somebody coming where it's not quite right with them, and you're kind of stuck. Like, do I turn around now and go the other direction? What do I do here? And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The brokenness that is between us and God is there. For the very first time, we see God and us and God, in a place where there's not harmony between us. They hear God walking in the garden for the very first time. God speaks these words to human beings, and human beings hear it for the first time. Where are you? What is this you have done? Clearly, the break between us and God took place. And I want to reiterate that most of what we do doesn't actually make it better. It doesn't actually help us get back home. So what will is the answer? What can get us there? And we know, like I said already, we understand that there's brokenness in us. We can feel it. We've all experienced it. Something's not quite right between us and our children and us, our children and themselves as they're going at it, our people in the workplace. We feel it among us in this world, and we've tried before and not succeeded. But this relationship with God is primary. What happens when there's a break between us and God? And could it be true? Like, we know there's a break. But what about that second part? Could it be true that a lot of what we do doesn't actually get us to a place of being put back together with God? And if that is true, that there are all kinds of things that don't get us there, then what will? What can actually get us back to that place? So knowing that there's a break and actually knowing what to do with it are two very different things. And Jesus actually told a story to get us down the road with this one. It's a story that we call the prodigal son. And man, I really wish we would have never called it that. Because the author in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, who wrote this, Luke did not call it the prodigal son. He just said Jesus told a story. We put the headings on top of this. And the reason I wish we wouldn't have called it the prodigal son is because the story isn't just about the prodigal. In fact, if you want to know what a story is about, all you have to do is chase to the end of it. If you want to know what a movie is about, go to the end of it and see how it ends. If you want to know what a book's like, chase to the last chapter, open it up, read it, and you're going to know what the rest of the book was really about. And so in this, when we look at the end of the story, we're going to actually see what this story is all about. And the ending of this story is a shocker. The ending of this story is one that has the ability to make some of us that have lived in the church our whole lives, or even lived in this culture our whole lives, and has the ability to make our heads spin. Because it starts with the prodigal. It starts with the younger son. And in the story, Jesus tells, great story, Luke chapter 15, as he tells this story, he begins with talking about a son and paints a picture of the son that we have a pretty cocky young person that thinks a lot of himself and thinks a lot about his vision for what the world ought to be and isn't listening very well to the people around him because he knows and is about ready to prove that his way of doing it is the way of doing it. And off he goes. Make a name for himself. And what he makes is a hot mess. What he proves is that he is really, really, really messed up. And he was really immature in thinking that he knew how to live. The older son here in this one, we get the image of a firstborn son. And I say that because I'm a middle kid and I was the middle son for a lot of years until my mom and dad, I was just about in junior high when they decided to have some more children, and we were horrified for real. I'm like, are you kidding me, mom? You're pregnant and I'm heading to junior high. This is really embarrassing. I'm going to need therapy over this someday. And so, but the older son, not always the case, but often, I mean, he's the one that got straight A's. He's the one that when it's time to shake hands, he's got a firm handshake. even as a kid, he can relate to adults and he looks them dead in the eye. He's the one that he just never ever gave dad reason to stay up late at night because he was always home for curfew, right on time. In fact, on Friday nights, he's out doing charity work while the rest of us are grabbing eggs to go throw them at stuff. And this is the kid that always gets it right, always gets it right. And he's morally and he's behaviorally, he is flawless. Back to the younger son. The younger son is messed up so badly. He's in such bad shape. And has sat in that place for so long. He's experiencing pain. He is present with his own pain. He's suffering. And regardless of how he got there, all of his own choices led him there. He is suffering and he is standing in that suffering long enough in that pain, long enough in that suffering that a mirror has been put up from him, and he's looking at that mirror, if you will, and saying, I don't like what I'm seeing. What are you learning, younger son? I'm learning. I wasn't as smart as I thought. What else are you learning? Yeah, I might have listened to a few people instead of just running off my own way. Learn anything else? I have to think about that for a while. And stay in your pain and stay in your suffering long enough till you come to the place where you understand what brought you where it brought you. And then give some thought about what's the trajectory. And he did. Stayed there long enough, suffered long enough, in that pain long enough, growing, learning about who he was until he finally went, I don't want to be this anymore. What about my dad? I had an image of my dad when I left, and man, that thing has been shattered because I've actually understood who I am. I wonder. And he makes a journey. He gets on the journey of his lifetime. So this older son, what's going on with him? Same stuff that was going on before. He's doing the same thing. Only doing right. Keeping all the rules as if the whole goal of life was actually to be a rule keeper. And so he tried to stay within that place. He never did wrong, only did right. And that became his life. Nothing's changed for him. How's it working for him? Well, the story is going to tell us it didn't work very well at all. That didn't work at all for him. Because when the son, the younger one, eventually says, I've been here long enough. I've stood in this suffering long enough. I've been in this pain long enough. I've really learned a lot about who I am. And it's time for me to go and test this one because I wonder who my dad is. He's certainly not what I thought, and he might be something more. And he takes that journey and finds his dad to be more than he ever even thought possible. And the embrace of the father, and the father brings the son into the house and throws a party for him. Where's the older son? Not there. The older son is outside, unwilling to go step into that party. If we were to take Genesis chapter 3 and Luke chapter 15 and lay them over top of each other, we have a powerful, powerful story here. Because to think about Genesis chapter 3, do not eat from that tree. We have an older son that in essence is going, I never would. What, are you serious? I was told not to eat from the tree. I won't eat from the tree. And we have a younger son that's going, don't eat from the tree. How many apples can I eat? How many can I get in? But at the end of the story, here's the shocker. And remember, Jesus is telling this story in order to impart truth here. In order to bring a story about true redemption here. He tells the story in this way at the end. That at the end, the one who did it all right, he's actually outside. What's the father do? Looks around the room and says, there's my younger son. He's home with me. We're connected. The brokenness has been put back together again. Where's the older son? Where is he? And he walks outside. You could say in the cool of the evening, he's walking, and the older son hears him coming. I don't want to hear it. Son, where are you? The very words that God spoke to Adam and Eve, where are you? And no, those words aren't exactly in the Gospel of Luke chapter 50, but that's the essence of what's happening in this story. As we overlay them over top of one another, we can see the dance here that's going on. Where are you? Something's broken between us. What's the problem? And he's given this older son a chance to think about it. And where's the younger son? He's in the midst of a new dance, understanding who he is and greatly understanding the grace of his father. Yeah, this is a powerful story. And to think about this overlaying even in our lives, to think about what would that mean to us? What does this all speak to? Because the shocker here, and I'm telling you, it was a shocker for the people that were listening, would be this, that the one that seemed to be doing it all right actually got it wrong. And the one that was doing it all wrong at the end, it's put right again. It's got it right. And what do we do with that? Because the original crowd, they didn't like it so much. They were listening to Jesus, and as they listened to Jesus, actually, they didn't even take time to leave the worship center in order to talk about the sermon and how much they disliked it. They took off right then and there. And yeah, they weren't inside the walls. He was in the countryside teaching. This was a rabbi. It wasn't a church service. But get the image. What was happening is they began to complain right then and there about the ending of that story. Wait a minute. You mean the one that was doing it all right, you're saying he's wrong? And the one that did it all wrong ends up right? This isn't right. And they were so upset about that that they wanted to chase him out of town. Yeah, they didn't like the preacher of the day. But what does this mean for us? When we think about us and God, there's a brokenness. And a lot of what we do, trying to keep it all right here, I'm going to keep doing all the right things and saying all the right things, trying to keep it all morally right, harder, harder, harder. We try and we just go, this isn't working. Well, what works? It's a guy that found himself in a place of pain, a guy that found himself in a place of misery, a guy that found himself actually because of what he did, which is crazy to think that the very things that we do that lead us farther and farther and farther and farther and farther and farther and farther away from God, God can actually show up there in those things and use all of that to bring us back to himself. This man that sat there long enough in his mess, I had to think about the questions. Where are you? Oh, man. I'm a long way from home. What are you doing? Whew. That's a great question. What am I doing? I thought I knew. What are you learning? I'm learning that I just was not as wise as I thought. Overlay this story now, Genesis chapter 3, Luke chapter 15, with your story, my story. It's where I said I have grown my most. I have learned more about God and more about myself by the mistakes I've made, by the messes that I've created, or by the pain that I didn't create, but I just stepped into because of this thing called life. Because in this world, you're going to have troubles, Jesus said. Take heart, I've overcome the world. And hear that cry from God, like, where are you? Well, I'm not real proud of it, God, but I'm over here. What are you doing? I've been sitting here for a while. Been thinking about my life. Well, what are you thinking about? You know, sometimes I actually think I know better than you. And let me explain that. There are times where I just trust myself and my thinking. And I don't really talk to you. I don't really think about what wise people around me might say. And I just start forging a path and I take off running, which, man, that has me wondering, how much do I really trust you? Ah, now you're asking the right question. Good question. What do you think about that? I think I need to think more about that. I think it'd be difficult, but I think maybe I'll take a step, and it's a scary one for me, but a step in the right direction to actually trust you, trust your way, and just to step out and give it a try. I like that. I'll be with you. Yeah. Yeah, you will. That I'm starting to figure out. I'm really starting to figure out who you are. Because it makes sense to me that when I'm doing all the right things and keeping all the right rules and never give you any reason to wonder about me because I'm all morally and behaviorally perfect, it makes sense to me that then you would be near me. But this God, that when I have done so much to lead me so far away from you, I'm learning this about you. You always take the first step. You always are the first in helping me find my way back to you with a gentle question. Hey, where are you? I'm over here. What are you doing? Let's talk about it. I want to encourage us to be the kind of people, and this is not normal in our culture. It's not something we embrace, but I want us to be the sort of people that get comfortable in our discomfort. Be the kind of people that are willing to sit and become present with our pain. Willing to go to those places and not leave them too soon. When we're feeling like, man, I really messed up, sit in that mess for a while and figure out how you got there. Even if it wasn't you that got you there, to be willing to sit in the toughest of times, because the toughest of times have us in a place to teach us the most about who we are and the most about who God is. To be the kind of people that are willing to learn the lessons. In fact, I heard one time from a theologian that it is not wise to repent too quickly. That's not something you would hear in church too often, right? What? Don't repent too quickly. What does that mean? It means this, that there's something to learn in the place that you're at. Stay there long enough to figure out what got you there. Learn enough about who you are so you don't repeat this kind of stuff. But also be in a place that at the right time, and not before that, when you have learned some deep lessons, that you can step out courageously into a new place to be able to say, okay, God, this is new for me, but I'm going to trust you with something I haven't trusted before. I'm going to go someplace I haven't gone before. And I'm going to, no doubt, learn something about me and you in the journey. I want us to be those sort of people. Again, I said early on, this is just one angle, but it's a big one. And it's one I think many of us, we try to get out of suffering as fast as we can, especially if it's stuff that we've done ourselves, bringing ourselves to a place of pain. I want to say something counterintuitive to that and to sit, be present with, and be the kind of person that learns the right kind of lessons. Allow God to speak into those moments. It could be a game changer. Let's pray together. Father, for that we give ourselves now. We recognize that many times this pain that we experience is stuff that we've done, it's decisions we've made, it's places we've gone. Other times it's because life throws curveballs at us. Many of us, myself included, far too often we try to get out of those places as quickly as we can instead of learning some of the best things we could ever learn about ourselves and about you. Give us courage to be still, even when we sense suffering, to be present, even as we experience pain. And in that place, we invite you, as we still ourselves, to speak. and to call us forth, because we long for that relationship with you and us and you, to be deep and to be rich. And we pray this in the name that is above every name, in your name, Jesus, our Redeemer, our friend. Amen.